Almost 22 miles per hour on that.
He's so good.
He's great.
He is so good. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Champ and Chump, get your votes in. All right, I want to address the previous call right before the break there. Was talking about the division, how he's still concerned about the division. Look, the Lions are the best team in the division right now, 10 games in. But in the standings, Minnesota's a game behind. And Minnesota is 1-1 in the division. Detroit's 2-0 in the division. If Minnesota beats Detroit in the season finale, if they're within a game, it'll go to the next tiebreaker, which will be division record, then conference record. If the division records are the same, if they both get to, say, 5-1, then, yeah, the conference record, the Lions have the advantage right now. They're 6-1, but Minnesota's 3-2. It's only one loss difference, and if Minnesota wins that game, then it'll hang another conference loss on the Lions. It's a long way from knowing what tiebreaker will matter most when we get to that point. The Lions just put up 7 touchdowns and 7 possessions against the same team that Minnesota didn't score 1 touchdown against the week prior. Lions are the best team in the division as of right now. Minnesota's still within striking distance, and things change. They could get back to some of the form they showed earlier in the year. Lions could come back to the pack a little bit. I'm not expecting it. I'm not predicting it. But yeah, this is the best division in football. You know, Green Bay 7-3. And, you know, that both Detroit was able to go on the road and get a win at both those places. So it's clearly advantage Detroit. But those teams are close mathematically. And so that's one of the things that helps keep your attention if you're the Lions. You can't afford slip-ups in games like Indianapolis this weekend because it could cost you in the division.
Correct. You can't do that. And the rest of the season, it looks like the Vikings have 4 tough games left. Home against the Cardinals. And the last 3 are really tough. At Seattle, home against Green Bay, and at Detroit. But between that, they've got the Bears a couple of times, and they've got the Falcons as well. And after the Falcons lose to Denver yesterday, it looks like, well, maybe the Falcons aren't all that good. So the Vikings have a really good roster of players, and they've got a less than mediocre quarterback. But that less than mediocre quarterback can look decent because of those weapons. They had enough to beat the Titans 23-13, but it's not. I don't worry about the Vikings as much. The team I would worry about more are the Packers. But the Packers, they've been on shaky ground. I mean, they almost lost to the Bears yesterday. If they didn't have a end of game blocked field goal, they would have lost. But they also played the Lions pretty tough. In that quagmire, it could be argued they outplayed the Lions in that game, but the result wasn't there. Certainly, that's the way they feel about it. So I'm still not looking past Green Bay. I'm almost ready to look past Minnesota.
Interesting. So the thing about Green Bay is, well, they're 2 games back in the standings. Obviously, Detroit holds a tiebreaker, but Green Bay also has another in-division loss, and that can be really costly in the tiebreaker thing, and that they lost to Minnesota. So they've got an uphill climb, but I'm sure they're looking that game in Detroit and saying, all right, and Detroit will play Indy, Chicago, and Green Bay.
And Green Bay plays home against San Francisco, home against the Dolphins, and at Detroit. So I don't know what the Niners are. Who knows? And Bosa got hurt last night and don't know the extent of that injury, but when he left the game, things changed for San Francisco for the worst. But, you know, the Dolphins... another kind of similar team. You don't know what the Dolphins really are. We know what the Lions are. But after the Lions, then they have to go to Seattle. Then they're home against the Saints. The Saints are playing better football now that they got Carr back. So they got a tough stretch of games.
248-539-9797. Detroit will have the extra rest going into that Green Bay game because they play the Thanksgiving Thursday before. Let's go to Nick in Westland. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Yes, you too.
I just wanted to do a quick champ and chump.
Yep.
I'll start with the chump. Chump, I'll go Doug Peterson. I mean, it's not even about just losing that game. I mean, Jags roster's terrible, especially with Mac Jones. They were probably always going to lose that game. But, I mean, really, second quarter on, that team looked like it gave up. Like, that Jags team looked like it wasn't even – it didn't look like they were trying to play for him at all.
No, we've had that look before. Like watching them play, I was very familiar with what they were going through.
They just couldn't. They couldn't stop the Lions, and that's demoralizing. When the Lions are coming up with 80-yard drives and 93-yard drives and 65-yard drives, you can't do anything about that. It is absolutely demoralizing. And then offensively, they did nothing other than throw the ball short. They had no running game. And then after a while, even the short passing game wasn't coming through for them. And next thing you know, it's 28-3, and they've got a decision to make. Are they going to kick a field goal, or are they going to, you know, try to get touchdowns? And they kicked the field goal. It was 28-6 at the half, and it wasn't even that close.
Yeah, no, and then my champ, I'm going to go with Kirby Joseph, who had his untied league-leading seventh interception. And honestly, I was kind of thinking about Kirby all week because, as you know, last week was deservedly a lot of praise for Brian Branch, and it almost started to feel like Kirby Joseph was almost being treated like, oh, he's the other safety who's also pretty good. But, like, it really started to feel like he was almost being talked about as, like, the other safety. And it's like, make no mistake about it, the Lions have the two best safeties in football right now. Right now, I would say they are both in line to be all pros. And I'm about to reference PFF. I know PFF is not the best or anything. I certainly don't take it as, like, a full end-all, be-all source. But would you guess that the number one rated safety at PFF right now is actually Kirby Joseph?
Wouldn't surprise me anymore.
Branch is number two.
I was going to say, I would have guessed it was Branch and not Joseph, but those are two best safeties in football.
Yeah, and it's funny. They're like neck and neck. I think after last week's game, Brian Branch was number one, and now after this week's game, I think it's back to Kirby Joseph. But, like, point is, this is not a superhero sidekick thing. This is two superheroes.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that always gets remembered right now.
I like it. Thank you. 248-539-9797. Tom is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Hey, Tom.
Love your show, guys.
Thank you.
I just wanted to go real quick. I wanted to say something about Dan Campbell and not pulling the starters. Essentially, when you pull your starters, it's like taking a knee, and I just think it's not in his DNA, and it starts from the top. I remember in 1991 when the Lions played the Redskins in the opening game. They got blown out. Redskins were inside the Lions 10 with a minute to go, and they took a knee four straight times. And Spielman was livid. He was like, because I would rather they score the touchdown than sit there and take the knee. So I just don't think it's in their DNA, and that it's something that they're probably not going to do even in the future.
You're probably right.
And quickly, Champ, whoever your caller was that compared Dan Campbell to Mike Ditka, I thought that was brilliant. I mean, they love him in Chicago, not just for his winning, but his attitude. And I think that's a perfect comparison for Dan Campbell. So I'd say that guy, that caller, whoever he was, my champ today. And the chump is whoever is on the Fox pregame show that puts Tom Brady in a hologram. I think that's embarrassing for Brady and for the whole cast. I don't know about you guys, but I think that they should stop.
Hologram.
I haven't Brady. Seen it, but it sounds interesting. I guess I would take exception a little bit with the comparison to Ditka, in that Ditka looked like a jerk on the sidelines.
Yeah,
like, and that's not Dan Campbell at all. Dan Campbell is, it seems like he is he's very level. He's not the most level headed, but he seems very level headed on the sideline. Doesn't get too emotional. He saves the emotion for after the game. So there's a little bit of a difference there, but the success has been similar, certainly.
Feedback. Hey, guys, Ian and Livonia here. I love their unstoppable offense. It is the stuff of nightmares for the opposition. I made a same-game parlay yesterday with J-Mo scoring an anytime touchdown, St. Brown an anytime touchdown, Gibbs an anytime touchdown, and Monty an anytime touchdown. The alternate line of -21.5 and Mac Jones to throw an interception. In what other world is that parlay a no-brainer like I was thinking of when placing it? Go Lions. We got to say, Kang, it's your point that yesterday was the day for?
Oh, yesterday was Merry Christmas to those to Parlay Line Slappy Guy. Parlay Line Slappy Guy made out finally yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know the line slap who's, you know, everything's great. Who's not going to score, right?
Yep.
And then also he loves the parlay because it's, quote unquote, a no-brainer according to that text.
Yeah.
And so, but it hit yesterday. If you thought Gibbs was going to score, Monty was going to score, J-Mo was going to score, ASB was going to score, Goff was going to throw this much, they're going to cover. It all happened yesterday. I hope you made up for any losses you had during the year, because 20-1s, 30-1s, they were all coming in.
When I was riding in the shuttle bus back to the parking garage after the game, I heard this guy behind me was talking to his buddy about bets that they had made. And they were talking about the game, and he's like, I mean, man, you didn't have to do my man like that, but I'm glad you did. Talking about what the Lions did to Doug Peterson specifically. Like, but I'm glad you did, because it just kept piling on the points and piling on the stats that allowed the guy behind me to I heard his bet, because he was holding out. He was getting greedy, because he had other games going on that could pay him off like $5,000, but he could cash out at this point for like $1,800. I'm holding out. I'm like, all right, well, you do you.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.